The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2014 Annual Conference, copyright 2014. If you have purchased this recording, you are free to make multiple copies for your school's use. You may not sell copies of the audio or post copies on the internet. Order additional conference recordings from this year's conference or previous conferences at store.accsedu.org. Find out more about the Association of Classical and Christian Schools at www.accsedu.org. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the visual art integration. I am going to ask, because I do speak softly, if you would move up. Okay. Anna's bringing more handouts. But if you'll move forward, for many reasons, to meet new people, we need to collaborate, we need to make new friends, we need a support group, because as you know, in education, we are our own entity once we enter that classroom, and we forget about other people sometimes. It's hard to make those connections because we're so busy during the day. So let's make them here today. So if you didn't receive a handout, you will be receiving one. Anna's coming with one. The handout does follow the PowerPoint presentation that I have. Before we begin, this is how I start my class as well. We always start with a prayer, so if you'll bow your heads, please, so we can bless this time together. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Use me as a vessel so I can communicate all that you have put in my mind. As an artist, my mind runs and runs and runs with many ideas, and bless these people here. I know I am blessed by them attending. And thank you that I teach art. Thank you. Amen. I ran from teaching for many years. I didn't want to do that. I did go to college, received my BS in elementary education, taught for a couple years, and then got married and had a family. And I said, I just don't think that's my gift. And when I entered school, my parents said, you need to choose a career that you can earn a degree in, and it wasn't art at that time. So I went back to school, my boys got older. I have an MA in art education, and I have an MFA in visual arts, in photography in particular. That's my medium. I did earn my way through my MFA with my MA. I do teach elementary and secondary art education at the university level, as well as art appreciation and some other media. So I am so blessed. I see first grade through students that are our age. So I see this whole pedagogy. As I said before, I am very blessed. This seminar is about visual art integration. I am a proponent of integration. Our students spend a lot of time, particularly our upper school, going from class to class to class, compartmentalizing. I believe art can create the bridges, a connection to all that content area, and make their life experiences applicable to art and what we learn. So my outline, number one, is why build connections? Well, Jesus taught in parables. He taught stories. He spoke of stories, as Mr. Wilson said, words. Are very important. So Jesus spoke in parables. He made those connections. And I try to do the same thing in my art room. Life connections. I try to bring the outside world into the art room so that the students see that not only is art here in the classroom, sometimes 45 minutes once per week or 3 hours per week, that there is art outside. They also need a mastery of content. I talk a lot to our faculty members at Grace. It doesn't have to be a formal conversation. It can be on the deck. Being in Texas, we don't have hallways. We have decks. So our doors open outside. And I'll just going to the office, I'll say to the second grade teacher, what are you working on? What book are you reading? What science unit are you on? It's those little conversations that help me develop a more integrated curriculum. My pretense is I study beauty, truth, and grace. That's what art is. At the end of my emails, I have a quote by Gian Lorenzo that says, to teach others what I know is as if I'm teaching it from God. And that's my saying. So to build an integrated curriculum, talk with the faculty, be open to their suggestions, go to them as well. Sometimes teachers come up to me and say, we're doing a poem about the Easter Bunny. And I'll say, great, we'll illustrate that. So I pull those in. We had a science unit. The science teacher came in the end of this school. Had I known this, I would have integrated it. He was doing an experiment with food coloring and oil. And he dropped these in milk. He dropped it was interesting in the art room. We have tile in the art room. I'm very blessed. I did start out with carpet in my art room. And we grew, which is a very good thing. So he brought in the milk and the oil and other explosive things. And he said, look at this. And he dropped these drops of color mixed with oil and milk. And the colors, they melded together or they spread out. And he was talking about oil and something else in the molecular makeup of it. And I looked at it and all I thought of was Paul Klee, who did those beautiful circles within circles. If you're an art person, kind of abstract. But I thought, oh my goodness, had I known that, I would have talked about Paul Klee, color theory, things like that. So I'm putting that into the curriculum this year. I also borrow bones from the science instructors. We have a parent that does taxidermy. He doesn't believe me yet that I do draw from bones, and bones are really great to draw from. So I do pull those in as well. So to get started, I have some ideas that I'd like to share with you about integrating art per grade level all the way up through logic. So we have here, in between my integration, I do focus on particular artists. And this was, of course, Monet. His favorite flower was the lily. We painted it in third grade. We looked for colors and shapes, and we drew it and then painted it. And I do this unit when the wildflowers in Texas bloom, which are absolutely fabulous. It's not green. It's blue and it's red, and I incorporate it there. The same thing up here. In between what the examples that I give you, I go back to the foundations of art. I go back to drawing. Sometimes with graphics, sometimes with charcoal. So if you're a classroom teacher, pencils are always a great thing to start with, talking about lines and shapes. So first grade, I integrate art with Bible, reading, science, and history content areas. I begin with Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh. We talk about colors and movement and line in this. We talk about landscape and seasons. Then we go into Viking weaving, which is always fun because it's very good for fine motor skills. I have a website that I use. I usually start my classes, a new unit, with a PowerPoint or examples of art that we are going to talk about. And I always say, you know what Mrs. Gresham just told me? You guys are learning about Vikings. What is a Viking? And everybody raises their hand. Oh, I know. Which is wonderful. And that gets a conversation started. And I say, did you know the Vikings didn't have a Kmart or a Walmart where would they get their clothes? And then we talk about Viking weaving and how the women wove and the cloth that they did. And then we do a little piece here, weaving. We talk about warp and weft. Also rhythm and pattern in this. So I talk about the elements and principles of design, which I probably should have covered at first. In your handout, I have a chart. In the first column is curriculum integration by grade level and activity. Scripture verse. I write a scripture on my whiteboard that relates to whatever grade level I think is applicable. And then I noted that in the second column. The third column is the media, the technique, and the EPOD. That's short for Elements and Principles of Design, which are the vocabulary of art. And then the artist that I connect it with. And then the content connection in the last column. So I hope that helps you when you start integrating as well. At Thanksgiving, we go back to drawing again. I have a pumpkin, or I go get pumpkins. I'm looking for a cornucopia. Very hard to find. It must be an old-fashioned idea. Cornucopia, we talk about overlapping and colors and what the pilgrims and Indians ate and what the how the Indians and Native Americans helped the pilgrims survive. And I show them examples. Then we talk about Native American ceramics. This is, again, first grade. Native Americans, I use a paper mache clay. We pinch pot it, which is very good for fine motor skills. Again, I show them examples because we want to imitate. This would be a very easy classroom activity to do. I usually lay out, I give them styrofoam plates. They write their name on it, and they can turn that plate as they would a potter's kind of wheel, so they can turn it and not have to lift it off and destroy the sides and things like that. And then they paint it. Again, we talk about color, patterns, rhythm, the use of Native American ceramics. It wasn't for beauty. Most of it was utilitarian purposes. And then that integrates food, how they stored it, how they carried it. And then we come to Christmas. And in between these two, we're drawing. We went back to drawing again, visiting the foundations of art. They love the VeggieTales. This is kind of like my thing at Christmas now. I do first, second, and third grade with it. The little star, if you have a VeggieTales manger, it plays a song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. So first grade, we're just getting the shapes down and the colors overlapping to give a sense of depth. Second grade, it changes a little. This first grade teachers talk about the prodigal son. This is where I integrate Bible. We look at Rembrandt's The Prodigal Son, which he painted. We look at the shapes. This is a prodigal son here kneeling before his father. He's come home. And here are the brothers. So we're looking at the shapes, getting a sense of depth and colors. I actually, I'm so blessed because I have a projector on my ceiling and I project the prodigal son onto my whiteboard. And we talk about measurement. Where is the middle of the composition? Well, there's nothing there. But if you go halfway between, I have them put a dot right there. Halfway between the dot and the left side, right there is the son's head. What shape is the head? It's an oval. Okay, draw the oval. What shape is his body? His cloak. It's a large oval. Almost down to the bottom. But again, in the middle between the left side and that dot. And we work our way through this composition. And then when I turn off the projector, they're so excited because what I've drawn is what they've drawn. So we double check. Then we talk about Rembrandt's self-portrait. This is where I love to talk about God's plan for us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are created in the image of God. And oh my goodness, if you look at the proportions of a face, we actually have a Greek cross in our face because our eyes are actually halfway down our face. That blows their minds. It blew my mind when I learned about that. I said, no, not really, but it's true. If you start looking at people, you'll notice that their eyes are halfway down their face. And then we talk about the proportions where the nose is, where the mouth is. And you can see just barely that cross. And on the eyes, that's where the cross, that's where the eyes go. This guy has it up a little bit higher. And then we talk about the proportion of the ears. The ears start at the eyes and end at the bottom of the nose. So that's kind of like my sign that God has got me sealed. I am created in His image. I have a cross on my face. We do a big unit in first grade, Texas State History. We do printmaking. We draw rattlesnake. And we do have rattlesnakes on our campus. We talk about pattern and rhythm and movement again. Depth, we have some sun here and a landscape, some water. And he's saying hello. He's a friendly rattlesnake. We do this with Q-tips. You can use Q-tips. You can use the end of a pencil, an eraser, to make these little dots here. You don't need a paintbrush. You can use fingers. Sometimes we've used our fingers to create patterns as well and paint with our fingers. Going back to the foundations again, drawing our face with a cowboy hat. I actually turn the cowboy hat upside down because I want them to look at the shapes in the cowboy hat. I want them to work on their right side of the brain, get out of the literal left side of the brain, and look at what they actually see. It's hard to teach students to draw what they actually see. When you start a drawing class, you are trained to draw what you actually see, not what you think is there, but what you actually see. So I do turn my cowboy hat upside down, and they draw the shapes, and you can see this little girl. We found triangles, a triangle here, and then an oval for the brim, and then sort of a rectangle there. And then they flip it over, and they're like, oh, that's so cool. It's really a cowboy hat. I do the same thing for a cowboy boot. I turn it upside down so we find the shapes. And we have some pretty wonky words when we're describing shapes. It's like a triangle rectangle that has the boot part. We talk about the history of boots as well. They were derived, the cowboy boot is historically from the Civil War boot. And it is stitched together. And it's high to protect the cowboys and the cowgirls from the cacti that we have and the other sticky, prickly things that grow in Texas. And there's a heel, and we talk about why the heel is so large. It's larger on a cowboy boot than it was on a Civil War boot. And why is it larger? What does a cowboy ride? He rides a horse. Well, what would he need? Why would he need a heel if he's putting his boot in the stirrup? Well, it stops the boot from going through the stirrup. Easier to get out of your saddle quickly, too. So that's Texas State history. So you can, I hope, pull in some of the history from your state bird, your state plant or whatever. Then we, first grade does read one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. One fish, two fish, red fish. Oh, blue fish, sorry, my typo. This is where we talk about sculpture. You don't need a lot of materials. They do get a biography of Dr. Seuss, and they trace out the shapes, and then I staple it together. They paint it. This is tempera paint, which is fairly inexpensive if you go to Dick Blick or NASCO. Those are the two art supplies that I order from. I find the quality's good and the price is fair. And then we stuff it, and we talk about 2D art versus 3D art. And then we hang these from the ceiling. And here's some other examples here of students that have created one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. And that is incorporating, integrating what they're reading. On to second grade. Integration of Bible reading, science, and history again. As first grade starts with Vincent van Gogh, I start the second grade as well with Vincent van Gogh with Sunflowers. Here we're just here at the beginning of the school year. We are reviewing colors and shapes, texture. And we look at, of course, his favorite flower, the sunflower. And then we draw flowers or sunflowers. This is oil pastel. You don't have to do it in oil pastel. You could do it in colored pencil. I had them outline with glue, and you can see the little droplets here. The student wanted it to rain, and then we colored it. Second grade, they start off learning about Africa, so we decided to make African masks. These are paper plates, and I showed them examples of African masks. We talked about why certain tribes wear masks, what the purposes of those are, as the second grade teacher was talking about Africa. And we noticed that there was a lot of pattern and rhythm and color, some feathers. So that was a fun unit. And then we got to wear them. That was interesting. And then we talk about Thanksgiving again. We're talking here about overlapping, and these are fingers, talking about Indian corn, and a sense of depth. There's a foreground, a middle ground, and a background here. We talk about negative space, the space that's around the subject. The subject is the corn and the pumpkin, and the negative space here is white with on a table. There's a horizon line right there. Again, with tempera paint, easy to wash out. And if you do need to wash it out, hand sanitizer is very good. Squirt hand sanitizer on. It works well with acrylic paint as well in the older students. They read My Father's Dragon. So I've visited sculpture in first grade. I do it again in second grade. They read My Father's Dragon. They look at the book. They look at the illustrations in the book, which of course are black and white. So I revisit 2D and 3D art. This is the same clay that I use for first grade for the Indian pinch pots. It's a paper mache. It dries in a couple days. I meet once a week with my grammar students for 45 minutes. And then we paint it. And they have to read the book to find out what color the dragon is and what his wings look like and what his head and tail look like here. And these are three examples. Egyptian portraits. This is a big unit. Of course, they do an Egyptian feast at the end of the year. This is about the middle of the fall semester. I actually raid the trash cans at school for clean paper, copy paper, or newsprint, and we shred it. We take a class and we actually shred it, and they think it's so funny that we're tearing up paper to make paper. But we talk about papyrus, we talk about reeds and things that the Egyptians used to create their paper. We have gone out in the past and collected grass and put that in our paper. And then as the paper is drying, we draw each other's portrait. Egyptians are known for their frontalism, which means that they're looking forward, but their eye is actually looking at you. This is one year that we did it, and this is another year that we did it. The boys were usually seen as red-faced, and the women or the girls are yellow, painted yellow in Egyptian historical art. So after we paint these, after we draw each other's portraits, and the paper is dry, and we actually talk about the process of paper, pulling it, couching it, and then letting it dry. they glue on their portraits onto the Egyptian paper. And this is while the teacher, the second grade teachers, are teaching about Egyptian culture. They do a big unit in insects in second grade. Some years I have had them, I've had the older students collect bugs, and even anybody collecting bugs, June bugs, ladybugs, whatever we find, and I would actually pin them onto cardboard and pass those out. They would get to pick. We have a lot of praying mantises too on campus, but I told, don't kill them. If you find them dead, that's okay. Bring them to me, but don't kill them to create art. So we have some beetles here, and then I have plastic ones. I went out, I broke down and bought plastic ones at a science museum that I was at one year, because some of the girls were like, oh, I don't want to touch it, I don't want to touch it. So I have plastic ones that I've pinned to cardboard. And then this year I thought, to change it up, let's use the scratch paper, the black scratch paper. So I did that this year, looking at the examples of insects, talking about what is an insect, why isn't it an arachnid, and they can tell you. So we scratched out our insects, also talking about foreground, middle ground, and background in art. Here's a foreground, middle ground, and then a background. Positive space, the subject, negative space, the space around these insects. We talk about Japanese fish prints as well, printmaking. I like to expose our students to a variety of media, as well as visiting the foundation of our art. So I actually bring in a real fish. It's usually a tilapia, which fits into a 12 by 12 inch piece of fabric. I go to Hobby Lobby. I don't know if you have a Hobby Lobby or Mike. Michael's doesn't carry fabric anymore. Hobby Lobby, Walmart. I go to Hobby Lobby because I get 40% off on coupons. So I go in and I purchase 3 yards of white muslin, cut it into 12 by 12 inch squares. That's a really inexpensive fabric. And then we actually paint the fish and then lay it in the middle. We talk about measurement in thirds. We talk about thirds because we're working with measurement, which integrates math. We put it in the middle, and you can see some of the fish scale and the fin here and the eyeball, which they just love to touch the eyeball. And the fish doesn't have any innards. The innards are taken out. So we open up the fish, we talk about the ribs and the intestines, which are not there, but they like to peek inside too. So we talk about science too, the makeup of a fish. What does a fish actually look like? The scales. Sometimes the scales fall off, and isn't that cool that God planned it, that the fish is protected by scales, and there's slime on a fish, and that helps protect the fish itself. Isn't God cool the way he plans every little detail? And then we do a bit more printmaking. I have shapes cut out of sponges, triangles, circles. And then I have some aquarium plastic plants that they can lay in a color and then print it on the muslin. We have bubbles. I have bubble wrap. That's cool too. Bubble wrap makes cool actual bubbles. As long as you don't pop them, they enjoy popping them. But it's really hard to make a bubble after you pop the bubble. Second grade does a big unit on plants. One year we painted plants, and this year we made a mobile. I thought that would be interesting to do, and we hung them from the ceiling. We talked about the flower itself and the parts of a flower. They were able to tell me all those parts, the stem and the leaves and photosynthesis, and the roots and the importance of each of those parts of a plant. So that is making content real. I think maybe next year we might go out and maybe dissect some plants and draw them. I think it would be kind of fun. They do a unit in spiders too. We talk about the difference between a spider and arachnid. And These spiders are little foam balls, 2 inch to 3 inch. We paint them, and then we talk about the number of legs. Of course, arachnids have 8 legs. We have tarantulas in Texas, so a lot of them make tarantulas. And these are our spiders climbing the wall. We have an end-of-the-year art show, a fine art evening where we have where we have music, drama, and art all together. Here's some on the floor, crawling up the wall. So that's integrating science. On to third grade, I go back and as a parent, I loved the art that my children would bring home. And I hope the parents at Grace enjoy seeing how their students' faces change from first grade to third grade. We go back and we revisit the cross in our face. This one's up a little bit high. We talk about the proportions, the ears, the nose, the mouth. We revisit it and it's more in depth. We look at Mycenaean death masks. Third grade talks about the death masks. I have a mold that we use plaster of Paris. We lay that over the mold. And we talk about why it's gold, why a death mask. What does that communicate to us? What does it tell us about the culture? I do a unit on Ark of the Covenant, prayer boxes for Thanksgiving. This is bringing in Bible, the Ark of the Covenant. We look at scripture. We talk about the scripture. We talk about how large it is. I take blue painter's tape and we tape the Ark of the Covenant, the size of it, onto the floor. We convert what the Bible measurements are into feet and inches, and we tape it on the floor. Then I take a box like this, and we collage it with different colors, mostly gold, because, of course, the ark was in gold, inlaid with gold. We talk about what's inside the ark and why it's important to have those things inside the ark, what the importance of the ark was to the Israelites. So we collage it. I don't have one. I don't have an example because I send it home. My family, as my children were growing up, we would have a prayer box, and we would put what we were thankful for in the prayer box, and then we'd open it at Thanksgiving. And then at Christmas, we would use the same box and put it in the tree. And in this box, we would put how we would serve the Lord the rest of the year. One year, we put in that we would volunteer at our local Humane Society. One year, we volunteered with a service that was similar to Meals on Wheels. So that was our family blessing, that was our gift to Christ. So we use that at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I thought that would be a nice thing to pass on to my students. And then on top of, we do cut out little angels, because the angels, of course, the seat, the throne, we cut out angels, and they glue it to the top of this. They do a unit on birds. We talk about birds, the importance of birds. Here, I look at J.J. Audubon, his importance in American history, American art history. We talk about the shapes in birds, what the birds did, how J.J. Audubon actually used, he was different in his artwork, he actually used the environment to tell us where the birds lived, what they ate, what they roosted on, what their nests looked like. And here we have it. I do this in chalk pastel, which is kind of messy. We get our fingers messy, and then we touch our faces because we've sneezed, and then we have colors all over. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So here we go. I ask them, what are birds? What do birds do? They have feathers. Well, what do feathers do? And I bring science in that respect. We do visit Snowflake Bentley, which is a book about a scientist who studied snowflakes. If you live up north, you might be a bit more familiar with that. He's very interesting. There is a book, Snowflake Bentley, how he photographed different kinds of snowflakes. We talk about symmetry, symmetrical ideas, The left is the same as the right. The top is the same as the bottom. Fine arts, fine motor skills as well, cutting. I use white construction paper for this. White drawing paper, sulfite paper, sorry. Then we do a big Greek base unit. We talk about amphoras, kylix, craters, and hydrias. We are very blessed. There is UT, University of Texas, has an art museum, the Blanton, that has a whole collection of original Greek vases. So we do, we have a professor too that comes in from our local university that comes and talks to our students about Greek vases. I do use clay for this. I teach at a university, so I'm able to use their kiln. So I take it up and fire it and bring it back, and they glaze it, and then they can use it, which I think is so cool that they can actually use these. Some years I've taught it as pinch, and then other years I've taught it as coil. I do pinch pot, which is the basic way to create ceramic figures. I want to bring in slab, but I need to get some more materials, which is where you roll it out like a rolling pin, like a dough. I'm working on that for next year. And then in the upper school, fifth grade in particular, we'll start with coil, building on those foundational skills. So we talk about these four. We go and we visit. These are somewhat faint, but this is their idea, their sketches. I introduce it. They talk about it in class. They sketch out their idea, mythological or Olympic idea. We talk about a red figure, those differences. It's a whole unit. It takes us almost 2 months to do this particular activity. I play Greek music. That's another thing you can do in your room, Greek music. I play Native American music when we talk about Native Americans. Then we talk about the winged victory of Samothrace, the Nike of Samothrace. This was new for me this year. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it next year, but we were studying values, and I wanted to pull in some of the Greek history that they were doing. So we talked about Nike as part of the boat, the figure in the boat, and then we looked at it, and we drew. Again, I have them put a dot in the middle, and then measurement, math, it's the dots here, so what's halfway between the dot and here? Well, that's the little winged parts here, and maybe this shoulder here. So we drew the shoulder down to the middle point, and then the wing is over here in the upper right-hand rectangle. And then we just mathematically do it and look for the shapes in those segments. And then we went back and we talked about color theory, tint and shade, how to make tint and shade. So we looked at Nike and we said, well, this is where the light's reflecting, so we're going to paint that a lighter value of yellow, and then a mid-tone of yellow, and then the shade here, the darkness. They struggled with this, so I'm thinking this summer about changing it, but I'm not sure what I'm changing it to. But I do want to bring in some Greek with that. They read Mr. Popper's Penguins. We do a printmaking activity with this. I take styrofoam plates and we use the back end of a paintbrush and we draw a penguin. We talk about the foreground, the middle ground, and the background. I use black ink because our penguins, of course, are black. We roller it, we talk about printmaking techniques, and then we actually print it. And you don't need printmaking ink. You could do this with tempera paint as well. And then, of course, VeggieTales, Christmas. Here we get more into depth with second grade. We have overlapping colors. I'm a bit more, I expect more from second grade, of course, in first grade, in their drawing abilities. Make it more lifelike. And I do this around Christmas time because there's just so excited about Christmas, and it's a moot point to try to introduce something new at this early age. So we just go back to the basics and draw and color. Fourth grade. Love fourth grade. I love the Renaissance. Fourth grade, I do make egg temperas. I have some students who have hens that bring in eggs. We talk about how to mix egg temperas, how to mix them. This is a great drawing exercise. We look at measurement again, put a dot in the middle, and where is Mary's arm? Well, it's just about right here. And where is her head? It's about halfway up that we have her head, but it's not straight up, it's tilted. So we look here at Madonna by Giotto. We draw it out and then we paint it. In previous years, we've painted it on wood just as they would in the Renaissance, poplar or oak. It was cheaper than canvas at that time. So these are a little bit smaller. This year, I did it larger. I wanted to see how it would look larger. And I like it. It brings in more detail. Again, we talk about colors and shapes, foreground, middle ground, background, the subject, the negative space, and painting. They love crushing the chalk pastels, which we mix with egg yolk, which is why art pieces today are still being exhibited, because the egg yolk is a great binder. It's a great preservative. So we talk about all that in the process, in the painters who painted with egg tempera. We talk about Flemish and Dutch Renaissance portraiture and the difference and similarities with those, and then they draw their own portraits. Illuminated manuscript, always fun. I do go out and purchase vellum. We talk about vellum, that it's not paper, it's actually skin that's scraped. We talk about that historically. We look at the Book of Kells. I have several examples that I hang in the art room, and also as a PowerPoint. We look at those, we visit those, we sketch out ideas. They bring their Bibles in, they pick a scripture that is their favorite, they write it out, we use measurement to make lines, and then we illustrate it, we illuminate it. I don't know what time it is. What time? Am I doing good on time? I can talk. Once you get me started, I can talk. When it's about art, you might stay all day long. 11:30. And we end at what? 50? 40. 10 minutes. Okay. We're going to go fast. Get ready. Mosaics. Big thing in fourth grade. I look at the Haifa Sophia as an example. I did it several different ways. I first started with tiles and then put the cement on tiles. And then I went out to the dollar store, another favorite for art teachers, even classroom teachers. I bought they're about 9 inches by 9 inches containers. And I mix the cement up. I pour the cement in, and then they lay the tiles. I have a father who is a tile layer, and he donated all these tiles. Before we even make this, they sketch out their own idea. And we measure it too. Again, we've got math, we've got history. The Gates of Paradise, another big one in the art world. Repoussé, looking at the Gates of Paradise, stories of the Bible. We talk about Florence. There was a battle between two very famous artists at this time. Sometimes artists can get very egocentric, which happened during this call for an idea of the gates of the baptistry. And then I have a thick aluminum foil that they create, like the Garden of Eden here. And that's very simple to do as well. St. Jerome in his study. This is new. I'm going to start this next year. I am going to use balsa wood, and I use clay tools to incise because balsa wood's so soft. I always have them sketch out ideas or ideas first, sometimes 2 to 3 ideas, so they can pick one of those. And I use newsprint to do that on, to get out your ideas, because if they're stuck in your head, there's no more room. So if you get them out, you'll find more ideas. Similar to writing. Once you get it out, the ideas will start occurring. So we look at St. Jerome in his study. We talk about the story of St. Jerome, the lion laying down with the dog. the symbolism in here, the skull, the light coming through the window, and here's St. Jerome writing with a halo. We talk about that. We talk about lines. And then we would print that on paper. Fourth grade, the Renaissance, new ideas. This is when math was incorporated into art. Masaccio was the first one that used this idea. So we look at one-point perspective. I have a video that I show them, and we do it step by step by step. And it's like when your students learn to read, you see that light bulb go off. This happens with one-point perspective. Here's a one-point perspective off to the left, because it doesn't necessarily have to be in the middle. We talk about depth, proportion, and scale. And then next year, fifth grade and on up, we talk about two-point perspective as well. Some students are ready for two-point perspective. I had one student that was dying to try it, so I said, go for it. We talk about basilicas and cathedrals. I am going to start next year. We do visit a chapel, and we talk about the layout of a basilica and a cathedral. I thought this next year that we would bring in shoeboxes as a beginning base, or even computer-generated, and they could build their own, they could design their own basilica and cathedrals. And we talk about the difference between the basilica and cathedrals. Fifth grade, integration of history, science, Bible, and literature. Ceramics. These are the ceramics here. I didn't take any photographs. I put all my art up for the fine art evening, and I forgot my camera. I'm a photographer. What was I thinking? I don't know. So I don't have any examples, of glazed, but this is what they create. We talk about utilitarian. This is in support of the fifth grade curriculum. Utilitarian art created for a use, not specifically for decorative purposes. Farmers created their own ceramics. And why did they have to create their own ceramics? What happened in the Boston? What happened in Boston? Then we talk about the Tea Party and taxes and economy and things like that. We talk about explorers. New this year, rice paper and ink wash. We're going to talk about landscapes. We're going to talk about Marco Polo and his excursions, explorers in fifth grade. This was on my curriculum for this year, but I was asked by the drama teacher to create a backdrop for Phantom Tollbooth. And I thought, oh, that's a great opportunity. We can, and this is at the beginning of the year, I thought, this is a great review. We can talk about perspective, one-point perspective, because there's a long lane that they painted, color theory. We pulled all that in together, and it was a great review, but I didn't get to Marco Polo. So this next year, I won't be doing drama. They already have it for Phantom Tollbooth, so we will be doing Marco Polo. The fifth grade class goes to an aquarium in Corpus Christi, so we talk about sea creatures. This is, again, sometimes styrofoam plates. This year I used linoleum, and we talk about the history of linoleum. It was actually an artist who looked at the linoleum on the floor and said, I think we can create something from that, and he started carving into it. So we talk about the chemical makeup of linoleum, and then we print. We also look at Las Meninas by Diego Velázquez. We look at that and we talk about the art history of that. We talk about his best friend, Diego. What was his best friend's name? His best friend, they read the book about Diego and his best friend. And then they create their own day in their life, some of their favorite things that they like to do. And this revisits color theory, scale, proportion, the elements and principles of design. This is a big unit here, Lewis and Clark journals. By the end of the school year, they've got really good drawing skills. So what we do, I incorporate math again. We create a grid. I photocopy images of animals that they sketched in their journals. I have a a site that's, I didn't put it up here, that I look at, and then from books I photographed. They didn't know about woodpeckers. They didn't know about the oil fish. They didn't know about pelicans. And they didn't, that's really light, I'm sorry. They didn't know about the pheasants and things like that. So they sketched, they wrote in their journals. So I photocopied those, and then they grid it off on the photocopy. Then they grid it off, same measurements on sulfite paper. And then they find the middle, and they put a dot in the middle. And then they look at the square, and they see that the beak and the chin of the bird is here. So it's in the first, second, third. How many down? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 down, 3 over. They're already working with grids and math, X and Y axis, right? Same thing. 5 down, 3 over. That's where the chin and the beak go. And they work their way through each square, and they come up with these compositions. So that's integration of math and history as well. Our history. Sixth grade. Integration of history and literature. Our sixth graders start off reading The Diary of an Early American Boy. Some years I have asked them to map out our community. They've done that. I use collage with that, magazines, things like that, which could easily be used in the classroom. Other times I've looked at Da Vinci and his inventions. We talk about the helicopter, the tank, all the things that he invented. Very before his time. And then the students create ideas of inventions of their own. This is a three-layered couch to watch TV. This is a narwhal rescue teacher right here. The student loves narwhals. I think she's going to be an oceanographer or something like that. It's neat to see their gifts at such an early age. This student has a closet like the Jetsons, where you just go through and it puts your clothes on. I said, oh, I want that one. Previous years, I have had them use ink and a quill. I do have a feather, several feathers that I create quills out of, and we use Indian ink. Very careful with Indian ink because it does not come out. Once it's in, and we have, of course, we all have uniforms, so I'm very, very careful about that. This is a lawn laser. It cuts your grass, cuts your food quickly, and here it is, lawn laser. We use vellum because that's what was in this book here, The Early American Boy. Colonial people. I do a unit on colonial people. We use wire sculpture. We talk about 2D, 3D, and again, this is building on the previous skills that they know. Then I have them, they need to write a paragraph about their person. They need to describe what that person does in the community, what his or her role is. And these are about 8 to 12 inches tall. And I stapled them to, we got new blinds in the art room and in several other art rooms, and I said, don't throw those away. If you can saw them into like 6-inch pieces, I can use those. So I staple these wire figures to the slats. It works. Critical thinking skills. Photography, Matthew Brady, Civil War. Sixth grade looks at the Civil War. We talk about Matthew Brady. We do helio prints. Again, we bring in Latin and Greek, helio, sun. Talk about that. We do make pinhole cameras. One of the first cameras ever created, and this is one example here. We talk about the chemicals. We talk about photographers sometimes exploding their little horse-drawn wagons because of the chemicals. So we've got science now. We've got history, Civil War history. World War I and II. We look at posters of World War I and II and the emotionalism that is seen in these posters. Get people fired up or make them feel guilty for not joining the troops. We also have the Nimitz Museum in Fredericksburg in Texas that our sixth graders travel to. So they see all kinds of World War I and II history.
And these are on large poster boards that they sketch out, draw, and then paint. Logic. Our sixth grade is now in logic school. So logic, we're trying to create several different classes that they can rotate through sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. This year it was, and I don't have this on the handout, I'm sorry, because I don't have a lot of examples because they take it home. We did do colonial ceramics and Native American ceramics. Again, we visited that in the symbolism. Coil construction. We have a class that I call Studio Experience. I'm doing that in the fall again. We're looking at several different media. We're experimenting with it. We're working with it. But I look at the logic curriculum. I have that in my curriculum. I look at it and go, okay, what are they doing now? Always trying to integrate and looking at what books they're reading, what history they're doing. What are they doing in Latin? What are you guys doing in Latin Club? So I talk to my students and find out what they're doing. I talk to the faculty. This was a linoleum print, the Garden of Eden. Here's the snake here eating the apple. We've got some wind in the back and landscape here. And that's it. Are there any questions? I think I've run over, haven't I? I appreciate that. If you have any questions, I'm free. I hope this has helped you. I hope this has given you ideas.